In your Bibles tonight, the book of Luke chapter number 5. I'm going to step out of order tonight and move to a different place in the text. Luke chapter number 5, I'm going to share a message with you from this passage of Scripture. It's titled, Jesus Wants Your Boat. And all the bass fishers take a deep gasp. That's not what it's about at all. Really, the message title is Jesus Wants Your Boat, but the bottom line is Jesus wants you and He wants your life. When I think about all that Jesus has at His disposal, I mean, just think about it. He was in the beginning, He was the Word, and Jesus, as God, played a vital role in creation. And at His disposal and in His hands is the power to create everything that is in 7 days. And yet, He's chosen to use us in His work, to use us to influence the lives of others, use us to be an encouragement, a blessing, use us to do His eternal work. And I'm humbled by that fact. I'm challenged by that fact. I'm encouraged by that fact that Jesus wants to use my life. And I'm taking it serious. And I want to dedicate my life to His service. And so we come to this passage of Scripture and we really meet for the first time Simon Peter. And Jesus begins to use this man, Simon Peter, in this passage of Scripture. Jesus wants your boat. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Tonight's message, Jesus wants your boat. In these first 11 verses of the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, we see the story, a simple story, an interesting story, and a common story that we've read, no doubt, many times. We've read our way through the Gospels. They're in a little place called Gennesaret. It's just a little town outside of Capernaum. It's an insignificant place. They're in Gennesaret. We see a group of fishermen. They're washing their nets, and there's a group of people who want to hear from Jesus. Jesus has been healing in chapter number 4, and there's a group of people who want to hear from Jesus, and Jesus gets in Peter's boat. Can you imagine? He's on the shore washing his nets, and he looks over, and there's some guy in his boat. He's sitting in the boat. Jesus is in the boat, and Jesus asked Peter if he would thrust out a little. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, this is an interesting little picture. It's not really in the message, but I want to share it with you. It's kind of fun for me to think about. My understanding of how voice and how sound waves travel over a body of water is pretty interesting. God's understanding, of course, is perfect. And the picture that folks that study this passage of Scripture like to paint is the fact that Jesus understood the best way for His voice to be heard for the most amount of people was for Him to be out in the water just a little bit, and His voice echoed and resonated off of the still water so that more people could hear Him. We see Jesus out in this, just a little bit off the shore, speaking and teaching this crowd of people, and He doesn't stop there. He's finished His teaching, and He goes into Peter's ship, and he says to Simon, launch out into the deep. Now, Simon, we understand, has been fishing. He fished all night and caught no fishies, right? You know that song? He's been fishing. He's caught no fish. They've toiled all night. They've caught nothing. Now, when you think about these ships and these fishermen, don't get in your mind that they're in some big harbor, some big port, and they got diesel motors on these ships. These were common fishermen. They were probably on a boat that was much smaller than the platform that I stand on, and normally something that two or three men could be part of, because they would take their nets out and bring in the fish they needed. These were not great big commercial fishing vessels. These were men who went out every day and fished so they had enough to eat and enough to sell in order that they might provide and live. Fishermen. They knew their craft, there's no doubt about it. And they'd fished all night and caught no fish. And Jesus says to these seasoned fishermen, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In verse number 5, Simon answered, he said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he said, we've already fished in the night when the fishing was the best. We fished in the shallows and the places where we know the fish are. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to cast our nets in this deep water in the middle of the day. He said, but nevertheless, whatever you say, we'll do it. Peter learned a valuable lesson. Obey the word of God. Because he cast his net in the deep water in the middle of the day. And guess what happened? He brought in a great draught of fishes. The conclusion of this story is that Jesus says to these disciples to be, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And in verse number 11, they forsook all and followed him. This is the beginning of the ministry of the disciples. This is a simple beginning. And it all begins with this simple idea. Jesus wanted Simon's boat. Jesus wants your boat. Jesus wants to use you. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants the opportunity to put your life and invest and enlist your life in the cause of Christ. And all of us, without exception, should be determined with God's help to give Jesus our boat, to give him what we have, to give him the influence we have, the life that we have. If you really want what's best for you, what's going to make you happy, what's going to bring you joy and peace and great success for life and eternity, you're going to give Jesus your all. You're going to give him your all. Jesus wants your boat. Here's just a few simple points that I'd like to share with you from this passage of Scripture. Jesus wants your boat. Number one, even if it's small, even if it's small. Now, let me see some things that are interesting here about this setting. The Bible says, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, the Bible's very plain to spell out where they are. It's Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret, I'll just have you know, is not a great big place. To put it in terms of folks that watch Andy Griffith can understand, Gennesaret's a lot like Mayberry. You know, when you're in Mayberry, there's not a lot going on in Mayberry. I mean, the deputy sheriff keeps his bullet in his pocket, right? I mean, Mayberry is just not a very big town. If you've watched much Andy Griffith, you know that if you need something done, if you need to get to a city or to a store, you got to go all the way to the big city of Mount Pilate. That's right. Y'all should speak that loud when I call for a word out of the Bible. Mount Pilate. Now, if you get real desperate, you got to go all the way to Raleigh, right? Gennesaret. Gennesaret was to Caesarea like Mayberry was to Mount Pilate. And Gennesaret wasn't a big place. And if you could imagine where God is going to call out and God is going to raise up disciples, people who'd start his church and shake the whole world and write the Bible. Where does Jesus find folks like that? He found them in Gennesaret. Jesus wants to use things of insignificance to do significant things because it's not the person that matters. It is the person of Jesus through the person that matters. So with that in mind, your sky is the limit for what God can do with your life if you'll give him your boat. He wants your boat when it's small. But it doesn't stop. The smallness is not over when we consider Gennesaret. The next thing that I see in verse number 2, the Bible says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen. It's amazing to me that Jesus called several fishermen to be his disciples. Now, being a fisherman at this time was not a profession of great class and beauty. It was something that would have been despised to a certain extent. It was something that was just a skill that was passed down. It wasn't something that was applaudable or exciting or something that everybody loved. Fishermen. Fishermen were simple people. God wants your boat when it's small. Sometimes the devil sells us a lie in our hearts and says, you know, you could serve God if you could sing. You could serve God if you had some money. You could serve God if you had this. You could serve God if you didn't have that. You could serve God, but, you know, we're just too small. Sometimes we have this notion that if we were a little bit more able, we'd serve God. If I had more to offer, I'd serve God. But that's not how it works. That's not how God wants it to work. God uses things that are small. You meet folks with broken homes and broken marriages and difficulty in this and that and failure after failure. And I see what I want to see. I should say I want to see what God sees. When God looks at the life of any person who's willing to say, here's my boat, it is does not matter how big or small it is, he can use it and he wants to use it. Give God what you have. Offer to God what you have. Give him the influence and the time and the strength that you have now and see what he can do with it. God wants to use your boat when it's small. They were fishermen. Also, look, in the same net, same idea, verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He would thrust out a what? Y'all did better on Mayberry. He would thrust out a little. That's right. What did God want Peter to do? His first act of service to King Jesus to be something that was amazing, that would make the headlines? No. The first thing Jesus wanted Peter to do was thrust out a little. That's right. Just a little. I'll just tell you, I'm confident. If you're going to miss the will of God, you're going to miss the will of God by being unwilling to obey God in the little things. But here's the secret. If you obey God in the little things, doing what's right today and doing what's right the next day and doing what's right the next day and obeying God and serving God in this and that as your life goes on in the simple, small things, then you ultimately experience and know and see that God has worked his will through your faithful service in the little things. I love the old song, little is much when God is in it. That's no lie. It's no dream. It's a fact. As a matter of fact, on this day in Luke chapter number 5, we see Simon Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, these three men, fishermen. When I look at them in my mind's eye, I see leather-like skin and raggedy clothing, rugged boats and rugged men, biggest audience they've had in their entire life is the person on the other end of the boat. Yet, Jesus asked Peter first if you'd just thrust out a little bit in your boat. And that one little act of service is the beginning of the ministry of a man that God will use in just 3-4 years to preach on the day of Pentecost and thousands will be saved. And preach in the temple after God had given the power to heal the lame man, and 5,000 will be saved. I'm just reminded of this very simple thing, that Jesus wants your boat when it's little. But it's little. If you want God to use you in a big way, you be willing to let God use you in a little way. Look, we should be determined with our hearts to do whatever it is we can to serve the Lord. To do whatever it is we can do to serve the Lord. The little things matter. When's the last time you picked up a piece of trash on church property? When's the last time you cleaned something? When's the last time you just made a call and let somebody know you was praying for them? When's the last time you just prayed for somebody that God put on your heart? When's the last time that you're just faithful to take a few minutes of quiet time and read your Bible? When was the last time that you made an extra effort to attend Sunday school? I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, I know, but I want to remind you of something. God uses the little things before he'll give you the opportunity for the big things, and the little things add up into big things. Jesus wants your boat. He wants your boat. He wants your boat when it's little. He wants your boat when it's small. Number two, Jesus wants your boat when it is convenient and inconvenient. Isn't that interesting? Let me show you. You can see it here in the text. I love it. He wants it when it is convenient and inconvenient. When Jesus was looking for a boat, did he look for somebody that didn't have a boat in order that they could buy a boat and that he could stand in order to go out a little bit into the water and preach to these people? No. Do you know what Jesus did? He used somebody who already had a boat. He needed a boat. So guess what? He enlisted Peter, who had a boat and had the ability already in him to cast out a little bit into the water so that he could preach more effectively to the great multitude of people. It was convenient for Peter to use a boat. Do you think it was something that made Peter a nervous wreck to get in the boat with a passenger and launch out just a little bit into the sea? Do you think that bothered Peter? No. He just spent all night on a boat. I'll just tell you right now, I don't want to be out on a boat in the dark. Nuh-uh. But for him, that didn't bother him. And it's the sun shining bright now, no problem. So God chose Peter to do something that he was able to do. I use this illustration occasionally. There's some of you that if I called and said, hey, look, I need you to preach on Wednesday night, and I call you tonight, you don't sleep till Wednesday because you're scared half to death. You pray prayers like, Lord, please kill me before Wednesday. But there are things that you can do, like change a diaper in the nursery, that I'd say, Lord, please kill me before Wednesday. Now, I just want you to know that God equips us. Now, God does not intend for you to feel guilty because you're not comfortable preaching a sermon. And God does not intend to make me feel guilty because I'm uncomfortable doing certain things. He's geared us in certain ways to do certain things. And we're the body of Christ. We're parts fitly joined together. And we have a purpose to fulfill. Glory in the uniqueness that God has given you. And just remember, God wants your boat when it's convenient. He called a fisherman to take him out in a boat. It made sense. It was convenient. It was right. But he also called Peter to serve him and wanted Peter's boat when it was inconvenient. When it was inconvenient. They were tired. Can you imagine? They'd fished all night and caught no fishies. All night long. I'll just tell you, how many of you ever had a bad day? Would you raise your hand? At the end of a bad day, let's just say at the end of a bad night of work, he's worked all night, no success. He's on the bank cleaning his nets. What do you want to do? Go to the house. Go to bed. Get out of my way. If I've been up all night, I'm not going to be very nice, maybe. And if Brother Hodges is up all night, I don't know if he's ever done that before. He's tired. So the Lord wants his boat. And it's convenient for Peter to offer him a boat because he has one. He's able to do that. But it was an inconvenient time. Do you know that God wants our boats when we're tired? Sometimes it's not convenient to serve the Lord. But I'll tell you something. We should make it a point and give it priority to serving the Lord. To give purpose and make it a purposeful thing that we have regular things that we do in the name of God and for the glory of God. It's important. Is it always easy to come to church? No. Especially if you have children. I saw a family come in the back door this morning, and you could tell it was a fight to get to church. And the mom gave me a big smile. And I felt her pain. I've raised kids. Ruth feels it worse than I do. But it's not always easy to come to church, but it's right. It's not always easy to find a quiet place to read God's Word, but it's right. It's not always easy to witness. It's not always easy to minister to folks. Have you ever noticed that if you determine in your heart to minister to people, sometimes the people you try to minister to hurt your feelings? It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. But the Lord wants your boat when it is convenient. He's going to enable you to do things, but He also wants your boat when it's inconvenient. They were tired. They were discouraged. They were busy. They were mending their nets and washing their nets. God wants your boat when it's convenient and inconvenient. And number three, God wants your boat when it doesn't seem to make sense. When it doesn't seem to make sense. The Bible says in verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Jesus wants your boat when it doesn't seem to make sense. Now, what did Jesus ask them to do? Jesus asked them in the middle of the day, or in the daylight hours, to launch out into the deep. Now, I don't know about you, but we know something about fishing. Fishing tends to work better in the shallows. And when the sun begins to shine, the fish go deeper. And in the deep water, it's hard to catch a fish with a net. And these fishermen understood that. It didn't seem to make sense to thrust out into the deep. But that's what Jesus said. So, Peter, with a little doubt in his voice, no doubt, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What do? They thrust out into the deep. They let down their nets. And God gave blessing. God gave blessing. It didn't seem to make sense. You know, it didn't seem to make sense, if you want to be just quite frank and honest, that God would call a boy from a broken home and small town to be a preacher. But God called me to preach. I'm thankful that He did. He's using me in some little way, and I'm thankful. It didn't make sense. I was thinking about Justin Grinstead. I'm thinking about guys I went to school with. It didn't make sense. Justin, I remember him. He didn't want to surrender the call to preach because he was so shy. He surrendered to be a missionary because he thought for sure that he could, if he wanted God to use him, he thought, well, surely I could speak to somebody in a jungle a lot easier than I could speak to in front of the whole church. And he's a very capable preacher. Great Christian gentleman. It didn't necessarily make sense, but God used him anyway. It didn't make sense that God would use fishermen to be his disciples in order to shake the world. His choice didn't seem to make sense. But I just want you to know something. Never make excuses for what God can do through a life that is yielded to Him. Never. And if you want your life to count for eternity, just remember this simple truth. Jesus wants your boat. He wants your boat. And if you'll just give him what you got and make yourself available to his service, the sky's the limit. Maybe we could think our way through the scriptures. The first person that comes to mind was Joseph. Isn't that interesting? Joseph was a slave, a prisoner, forsaken by his brothers. Yet, he gave God his boat. And God used him to save the nation of Israel alive in the midst of a famine. Moses, he was a stutterer. He was born in a slave's home. The conditions that he was born into were so bad that his mother had to put him in an ark of bulrushes and put him in the water and just let him go. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, and when he got old enough to make his own decision, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was a stutterer. And God said, I want you to go to the most powerful man on the planet, someone that you've made an enemy out of, and I want you to stand face to face with him. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. It didn't seem to make sense. You know what? It doesn't have to. Moses gave God his boat. God used him in a mighty way. How about Ruth? Who would have ever thought that our Savior would come in its lineage, and one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ would be a pagan Moabitess woman? It didn't make sense, but that moment when Ruth was given the opportunity to choose God, Jehovah, and go with her mother-in-law, or choose the pagan land of Moab, she clave to her mother-in-law. And God blessed Ruth. Ruth gave God her boat. And God allowed Ruth the opportunity to bear a son named Obed, who was a great, great, great something grandfather of Jesus Christ himself. What about Esther? Esther was a Jew in a pagan land. And there would come a day when all of the nation of Israel would be at threat of being exterminated by a nation and a king. And God used Esther, a Jew in a pagan land, to become the queen and save the nation of Israel. She gave God her boat. She said, if I die, I die. She gave God her boat. It didn't seem to make sense, but God used her. And we think about Peter and John, the Apostle Paul, and the list can go on and on and on. Jesus wants your boat. The next story that can be told is yours, if you'll just let the Lord have what you have. You see, Jesus wants your boat when it's small, when it's convenient and inconvenient. He wants your boat when it doesn't make sense. Jesus wants your boat. The only question left is this: will you give it to him? Will you give God your time and your influence? Will you determine with your life to serve the Lord in little things? Will you determine to make your life count for God and his glory? Oh, my prayer and heart's desire is that you will. I can't help but think at a moment like this, any seeking person in this room, the Lord is beginning to highlight something in your life that you can do to serve him. It may be something as simple as just being more faithful to read your Bible, more faithful to attend church, more faithful to tithe, more faithful to, you fill in the blank. But whatever it is the Spirit of God is prompting you about today, small, convenient, inconvenient, even if it doesn't make perfect sense. You determine with God's help that you're going to give him your boat. Give him your boat. Jesus wants it. I guess that's the greatest miracle of all. What little I have to offer, Jesus wants to use and bless. And I'm so thankful that I get the privilege to be part of the family of God and serve God that way.